Please open your Bibles to the New Testament, to the Gospel according to John, chapter 6, as we will read from verse 37 up to verse 59. John, chapter 6, beginning at verse 37, where we hear the Lord Jesus speaking. And he says as follows, "All that the Father gives me will come to me, and the one who comes to me I will by no means cast out. For I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. This is the will of the Father who sent me, that of all he has given me I should lose nothing, but should raise it up at the last day. And this is the will of him who sent me, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. The Jews then complained about him, because he said, 'I am the bread which came down from heaven.' And they said, 'Is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it, then, that he says, I have come down from heaven?' Jesus therefore answered and said to them, 'Do not murmur among yourselves. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they shall all be taught by God. Therefore, everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. Not that anyone has seen the Father, except he who is from God. He has seen the Father. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me has everlasting life. I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which comes down from heaven, that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If anyone eats this bread, he will live forever, and the bread that I shall give is my flesh, which I shall give for the life of the world.' The Jews therefore quarreled among themselves, saying, 'How can this man give us his flesh to eat?' Then Jesus said to them, 'Most assuredly I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is food indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him. As the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so he who feeds on me will live because of me. This is the bread which came down from heaven. Not as your fathers ate the manna and are dead, he who eats this bread will live forever.' These things he said in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum." So far, the reading of God's holy word. Your consistory has requested that I would preach a sermon according to the guidelines of our Heidelberg Catechism. And so please turn with me to our Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 28. Lord's Day 28. And it has as theme and title of the Lord's Supper of our Lord Jesus Christ. Lord's Day 28, question number 75. How are you admonished and assured in this Lord's Supper that you are a partaker of that one sacrifice of Christ accomplished on the cross and of all his benefits? And the answer, thus, that Christ has commanded me and all believers to eat of this broken bread and to drink of this cup in remembrance of him. Adding these promises, first, that his body was offered and broken on the cross for me, and his blood shed for me, as certainly as I see with my eyes the bread of the Lord broken for me and the cup communicated to me. And further, that he feeds and nourishes my soul to everlasting life with his crucified body and shed blood, as assuredly as I receive from the hands of the minister and taste with my mouth the bread and cup of the Lord as certain signs of the body and blood of Christ. Question number 76. What is it then to eat the crucified body and drink the shed blood of Christ? The answer, it is not only to embrace with a believing heart all the sufferings and death of Christ, and thereby to obtain the pardon of sin and life eternal, but also besides that, to become more and more united to his sacred body by the Holy Spirit, who dwells both in Christ and in us, so that we, though Christ is in heaven and we are on earth, are notwithstanding flesh of his flesh and bone of his bone, and that we live and are governed forever by one Spirit, as members of the same body are by one soul. Question 77. Where has Christ promised that he will as certainly feed and nourish believers with his body and blood as they eat of this broken bread and drink of this cup? And the answer, in the institution of the supper, which is thus expressed. The Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you, this do in remembrance of me." After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood, this do ye as often as you drink of it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come." This promise is repeated by the Holy Apostle Paul, where he says, "The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? For we, being many, are one bread and one body, for we are all partakers of that one bread." So far then, the reading of our guide, the Heidelberg Catechism, and the text is found in the portion that we have read, John chapter 6, the verses 37 through 59. But let us now first confess our faith with the words of the Apostles' Creed, and then let us sing from Psalter number 152. And let us therefore say in our hearts, "I believe in God, the Father, Almighty, Maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried, he descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead, he ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit. I believe one holy Catholic Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen." Congregation of the Lord Jesus Christ, one of the things we know is that the Lord Jesus Christ is and always has been very, very considerate of the needs of his people. He not only comforts them and nourishes them with his word and Holy Spirit, and we may enjoy that whenever we read the word and whenever we are under the proclamation of the word, because then he nourishes and feeds us with his word and with his Holy Spirit. And we need to pray for that, that we may personally experience that as well. But besides that, he also wants to nourish and feed us
with himself.
With himself. And that occurs particularly during the celebration of the Lord's Supper, which we commonly, at least in Reformed circles, celebrate 4 times a year. Now, our catechism has already spoken to us about the sacraments in general and about the sacrament of holy baptism, as the student Wagoner could preach from that last Sunday, I believe, and the Sunday before as well. And now our catechism continues on, and it wants to set out clearly for us the meaning, the reason, and the meaning of the Lord's Supper. And it will continue to do that for a number of Lord's days, and you should also be prepared to see lengthy explanations of the Heidelberg Catechism. Why is that? Well, because it was such a matter of controversy during the time that our catechism was written. And so the authors of our Heidelberg Catechism wanted to make sure that you and I know precisely why we are celebrating the Lord's Supper. So that brings us to our point, to the theme and the points. Christ, considerate of our needs, has instituted the Lord's Supper. We've got 4 points. The purpose for this supper, the command to this supper, the promise in this supper, and then lastly, the result by this supper. So first then, the purpose for this supper. Now congregation, the Lord's Supper is the second and the only other sacrament besides holy baptism that Christ has given us as a visible gospel. And I want to underline as a visible gospel. The two sacraments have, in fact, very much in common as well. If you, for instance, would go back into the Psalter and read the Catechism, Lord's Day 28 is actually very similar to Lord's Day 26, because you will notice some great similarities between the questions of these two Lord's Days. But there are also some very significant differences as well between baptism and the Lord's Supper. And you will need to know and understand these differences. And when you do, you'll also have a better understanding of what the Lord's Supper is really all about and what the purpose of the Lord's Supper is. And so let me try in the first place then to explain to you the differences. With baptism, you are admonished and assured that the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ is of real advantage to you. The sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ is as it were, plainly set before you in large words. There it is. There it is. Look at it. Believe it. Because it will do you great good. But with the Lord's Supper, you are admonished and you are assured that you are a partaker of that one sacrifice that Christ has made. You are a partaker of it. It's not that you just look at it and say, oh, yes, that's for me. But you are a partaker of it. And so you see the difference. Let me say it in a somewhat different way. With baptism, the sacrifice of Christ is advertised to you, while the Lord's Supper is something that you embrace, the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. And therefore, when you celebrate the Lord's Supper, you are in fact saying amen to your baptism. With the sacrament of the Lord's Supper, you are saying amen to your baptism. Let me go a little bit further yet, and follow me closely. From God's side, you see, there is a beautiful continuation between baptism and the Lord's Supper. With baptism, God takes you up in his covenant household. And with the Lord's Supper, God, as a good householder, also shows you his care for you by feeding and nourishing and refreshing you. Now, in another way yet, this is how John Calvin explains it, and perhaps that's the best explanation. Baptism points you to your
need to come to Christ, while the Lord's Supper points you to your need to remain in Christ. Baptism points you to the need for spiritual birth, while the Lord's Supper points you to your need for spiritual growth. There's a difference, as you know, between birth and growth. We need both in order to live. Let me finally yet put it in theological terms. The message of baptism should, as it were, drive you to your need to be born again. That is regeneration. While the message of the Lord's Supper should drive you to your need for daily growth. That is sanctification. And therefore, and I hope it has become obvious to all of us, you are baptized only once, because it points to your need to be born again, and you can only be born again only once. But the Lord's Supper returns again and again and again, because you need to be fed and nourished again and again and again, so that you may indeed grow. Well, there you have then the differences between baptism and the Lord's Supper. Now, you should then also be able to understand the purpose of the Lord's Supper better as well. With the Lord's Supper, you see, Christ comes to feed and nourish your hungry and thirsty soul. And what sort of soul will be hungry and thirsty, you might ask? Well, a soul that has taken his or her baptism seriously, a soul that has been persuaded by the heavenly advertisement displayed through baptism, a soul that has learned by the Word and by the Holy Spirit to see the value in the promises that have come by way of baptism. And so we see then that we come to understanding by knowing what both are about and the difference between both baptism and the Lord's Supper. Now again, boys and girls, this is also something for you, this message. You might think that this goes above your head, but listen carefully. This message, you see, comes to you this afternoon during the time between your baptism and hopefully someday your confession of faith, when you turn 18, 19, 20, 21, something like that. During this time, boys and girls, during this time, you are exhorted, you are called to take the promises of your baptism seriously. This means, of course, that you must turn to God, to the God of your baptism, and that you must forsake the world, as we are told. Then we are to say no to sin, we are to turn away from sin, and we are to learn to say amen to our baptism. That is the promise that comes by way of baptism. During this time, therefore, between baptism and the possibility of celebrating the Lord's Supper, which usually happens after you have made public confession of faith, so between your baptism and the possibility of celebrating the Lord's Supper, you must come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. This is why the Bible puts such emphasis on the fact that in your youth, and you've heard something of that this morning already, but that in your youth you learned about salvation from sin, and that in the years that are before you, as you gradually become an adult, you learn your need for the Lord Jesus Christ, and that you begin to long for, you begin to desire after what the Lord Jesus Christ can provide for you. And so remember this, boys and girls. This is then something that you need to think of as you find yourself growing up, becoming more and more mature. And once you are grown up, boys and girls, once you're grown up, this becomes more difficult. And I said something about that this morning too already. But it warrants to repeat it. As you grow up, there will be more cares. There will be grown-up cares, grown-up worries, grown-up temptations as well. And you will find yourself inclined to say to the Lord Jesus Christ and His salvation, well, not now. Later on, when I have more time. You know what that's called? Procrastination. And that's a bad thing. That's a bad thing, procrastination. Because when you speak of, well, when I have more time, that time will usually never arrive. And so, boys and girls, you are baptized. Someday, you will be asked to respond to the call that comes by way of the Lord's Supper. And therefore, at this moment, hear this call from God. And yes, I did also bring that out this morning. Seek the Lord in your youth. Remember now your Creator in the days of your youth before the difficult days come and the years draw near when you say, I have no pleasure in them. In other words, procrastination. The Lord's Supper feeds and nourishes spiritually hungry and thirsty people. And what kind of people are they who are thirsty and hungry? Well, people who have learned already in their youth time to flee to the Lord Jesus Christ and continue to flee to the Lord Jesus Christ even as they have grown up. The Lord's Supper, you see, will then feed and nourish you who seek the Lord Jesus Christ and need Him. And what does the Lord's Supper then feed and nourish you with, you could ask? Well, that's obvious. And we see this every time the Lord's Supper is celebrated. You are fed and nourished with a little piece of bread and a little bit of a sip of wine. But that little piece of bread and that little sip of wine are signs and seals of something much greater. They are signs and seals of the crucified body and shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Savior. Christ's body, as you know, was sacrificed on the cross for you who have learned to flee to Christ. Christ's blood was shed for you who have learned to appreciate the cleansing power of that blood of Christ. Well now, what is the next thing that you and I have to consider regarding the Lord's Supper? Let me speak then in the second place, the command to this supper. Dear people, all believers who have confessed their faith, and hear me out, all believers who have confessed their faith in sincerity are commanded to celebrate the Lord's Supper. And yes, you have heard it correctly and rightly. You are commanded, not just invited, not just urged, not just persuaded, but commanded. As you can hear it already from our Heidelberg Catechism, Christ has, here's the word, Christ has commanded me and all believers to eat and to drink, to be fed and to be nourished. You see, when on that night before His suffering and death on the cross, the Lord Jesus instituted the Lord's Supper, He said the following as He broke the bread. And listen very closely to His words, because His words count, don't they? He says the following, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And when He handed the cup to them, He said, "Drink from it, all of you." Dear people, understand these words correctly. This is not a mere invitation. This is not a mere suggestion. But this is a commandment. A commandment. It is not just a gentle nudge. It is a commandment. Some people would like to think that these words of the Lord Jesus Christ are only kind invitations without any sort of obligation on their part. A kind invitation which at certain times they just don't have the liberty to accept. But it isn't so. It is a command. And when Christ commands something and says, do this, when he commands something, it is in your and my best interest to obey. Now, that raises the question. Does this mean that everyone should just run to the Lord's Supper simply because Christ has commanded it? The answer is no. No. And let me explain that as well. With the next few Lord's days, you will have to deal more extensively with the question as to who may come and who must stay away. But at this point, let me say this already. Let the command of Christ put you in a tension sort of thing. And what I mean by this is, yes, I see the need that I must go because it is a command, though I feel unworthy of going. And it's okay to have that tension within you. If anyone, as a confessed member, stays away from the Lord's Supper, dear people, for whatever reason that might be, then according to Holy Scripture and according to our confessions, we are being disobedient. For where do confessed members then of the church get their liberty to partake of the Lord's table? Well, their liberty comes from the command of Christ when he says, do this. But now, why does Christ command this? Why doesn't he just leave it to a simple invitation? Why does he want all confessed members of his church to partake of the Lord's Supper? For one simple reason, that their partaking will satisfy his own divine desires, even as he once said this to his very own disciples one time, with fervent desire, I have desired to eat this with you. And dear people, he spoke those very words to his disciples with a note of sadness in his voice. Because at that moment he was busy reflecting on a time that he would be physically absent from his disciples and from his people. Even as he explains this to them as well, I will no longer eat or I will no longer drink of the fruit of the vine until when I drink it new in the kingdom of God. Mark 14 verse 25. Now, there are some very deep thoughts in those words. And perhaps even somewhat hard to understand. But let me explain it this way. The Lord Jesus Christ has a need. Or you could say it this way. The Lord Jesus Christ has a desire. He has a, and using scripture words, he has a vehement longing. For what? To have communion with his people. To celebrate the supper in the kingdom of God. And his greatest desire is to sit with them all together one day at the great marriage supper of the Lamb in the kingdom of God. That is his desire. But until then, he, that is the Lord Jesus Christ, he has to be satisfied with the spiritual communion with his people at the table of the Lord. And now, when some people for whom he has sacrificed himself and have confessed his name publicly, if some of those people now stay away from the Lord's Supper, they show by their absence an insensitivity to Christ's desires and needs. I remember the day when I, after public confession of faith, was called to come to celebrate the Lord's Supper. And at a certain time, a minister from the Netherlands came to visit me, my wife and I. And then I told him, yes, I'm struggling. May I come to the table of the Lord? and should I come to the table of the Lord? And he gave me an answer I will never forget. And he said to me, Hank, he says, if you would stay away from the Lord's table, then you think about it and look at the Lord Jesus Christ. You will see tears in his eyes because you have not come to the table of the Lord. By the way, these were the words of Reverend Jacob Westrink from the Netherlands. You will disappoint the Savior who has died for you, whom you have confessed, and he has called you to come to the table of the Lord. You stay away, then you better look into his face. You will see tears in his eyes. And so, dear people, these are some deep thoughts, and I hope also an explanation. Because if we stay away from celebrating the table of the Lord as confessed, sincerely confessed believers, we show an insensitivity to desires of the Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, he has commanded, not merely invited, but he has commanded, confessed members of the church to partake of the Lord's Supper. Of course, there's also another reason yet why Christ has commanded this, and that is for the benefit of his people. So that takes us to our third point. There is a promise in all of this. Now, when you eat the broken bread and drink of the cup that is presented to you, there is first of all a promise as well that it will benefit your faith life. Christ's body was sacrificed and his blood was shed for you. And with such a promise, dear people, you may then embrace believingly all that which Christ has done for you. And you may be assured then at the same time that you do have the forgiveness of your sins and that you do have the assurance of eternal life. And our catechism, and I cannot say enough about that, but our catechism is very positive and it explains this in a very positive way when it says that the assurance of faith is to be found at the Lord's Supper. And again, this goes back to what the sacraments are all about, isn't it? Remember, the sacrament is something that God gives us a message by. And this message for us is an assuring message of a very personal nature. This message says that Christ's sacrifice on the cross was for your benefit. His sacrifice was for your and my pardon of sin and of life eternal. And then come to think of it, how backwards some people can be about this matter at times. Yes, they do want the assurance first before they feel that they have the liberty to come to the table of the Lord. But the truth is, dear people, that such assurance is given by way of partaking of the Lord's Supper. The brother or sister who has for many years longed for just a little bit of assurance in the faith and does not have the liberty to partake may very well be kept from such assurance in his or her life because he or she has not obeyed what Christ has commanded them to do. Remember what you learned about the sacraments as a little while ago? You do not go to the Lord's Supper to say anything to the Lord other than to agree with him that by nature you lie in the midst of death. You are not saying anything to the Lord by the sacrament other than agreeing that by nature you lie in the midst of death. And that's part of the sacraments, you see. We go to the Lord's Supper because we need Christ. We go to the Lord's Supper because we hear from Him and we receive something from Him. And His message and His promise is that He will work in you. And He will do so by His Word and Holy Spirit. And that for the assurance of your faith. And this sacrament calls for your and my response of faith. But He promises more. As you know, a Christian will need to grow. You and I, as Christians, need to grow. And as it is in natural life, so it is in spiritual life. You need feeding. You need nourishing for such growing. Boys and girls, if you would stop eating and drinking, I hate to tell you what's going to happen in the next number of months, but there won't be much left of you. In order to grow, you need to feed, you need to eat, you need to drink regularly. Well, now, this is also what Christ promises. The spiritual food that He promises is very clearly articulated, particularly in that passage that we have read from John chapter 6, when He says, I am the bread of life. For my flesh, He says, is food indeed. My blood is drink indeed. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me and I in him or her. Now, there you have it. These are Christ's words. It is unexplainable. And the Jews said, who can... Nevertheless, this is what Christ says. And the only thing that I can say about this is that when you eat the bread and when you sip the wine at the Lord's Supper and you do so with a humble and believing heart, Christ's Holy Spirit so works it that you will feel connected to the body and blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And what does this do for you? Well, Christ promises that this will unite you more and more to Him, the Lord Jesus Christ, and your life will become more and more stable because you know that you are more and more guided by the Spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ. Those then are the promises that come to you by way of the Lord's Supper, to say it in a very short way. Promises that come to you by way of the Lord's Supper. Assurance of faith, spiritual feeding and nourishment, and a growing life with Christ guided by His Spirit. Now I ask you, would you not want that sort of benefit that is promised by the Lord Jesus Christ? If so, then understand that Christ has instituted the Lord's Supper to bring those promises home to you. As you faithfully obey His call to partake of it. Let me briefly speak yet in the fourth place about the result. Results, plural, by this supper. Variation, the sacrament of the Lord's Supper speaks of a sacrificing Christ who has given His body and who has poured His blood so that people like you and me may look at Him and be impressed by Him. No, you and I, we cannot go back in space and time where that old rugged cross stood on Golgotha's hill and where our Savior was hung, where He was stricken, wounded, bleeding and dying. We cannot physically go back and see that any longer. We cannot lift our physical eyes to see Him suffer and to give Himself to save sinners from death. But the closest thing to standing at the foot of the cross is the Lord's Supper. In the bread and in the wine, our memories are, as it were, cast back to the time when our Savior hung on the cross, bleeding, dying. Well, in short, then, this is the result that comes to you by way of the Lord's Supper. And then even our boys and girls can already begin to share in the mood of celebration that comes with the Lord's Supper. How so? How can our boys and girls share in the mood of that celebration? Well, boys and girls, listen carefully. When you see the bread broken before your eyes, and when you see the wine poured out into a cup, your memory should also take you back to the time and the place in history when our blessed Savior was torn in pain and agony, when the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ trickled down the wood of the cross and colored the ground. This should tell you two things. One, how great the love of God is, that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. The love of God, that He gave His Son. And two, how great the love of the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, is. And how great the desires of the Lord Jesus Christ are in order to save sinners such as you and me. So that He could one day eat and drink with them. So that He could one day have communion, full communion with them. No, God does not ask you to suffer with and suffer alike His Son beforehand. Thankfully, no, God does not expect that of us. God does not ask us either to clean ourselves up a little bit beforehand and get yourselves just a little bit of a confidence dose before you can look at His beloved Son. But He does call you, even at this very moment, to look to Him and to believe in Him. To look to Him and believe in Him. And dear people, that is really the call of the gospel, isn't it? The Holy Spirit and the Word call for a favorable response from each and every one of us. And so the question can be asked, have you already been stung by sin? If so, then look to the Lord Jesus Christ to be healed from that sting and be saved. Are you spirit struck by hunger and thirst after Him? Then hear what He says and obey Him, even as He points to the sacrament of the Lord's Supper. Do this in remembrance of me. Show my death till I come again and take you with me where I am. And where is that? Well, that's the place where we may sit with Abram, Isaac, and Jacob at the marriage feast of the Lamb. And He will then personally, He will then physically be the host. We will see Him with our eyes. And we will always be with Him and have communion with Him. The Lord's Supper may therefore be considered a small foretaste here on earth of what the Lord has planned in eternity. Are we looking forward to it? Amen. Return out to your homes and receive the blessings of God. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.